This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
The Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia.
It's the NFL Draft first round.
Wait till you see my mock draft drops. Let's just say that.
That's called a tease.
Yeah. Hey, Reggie Bush got his Heisman back.
Oh, who cares?
Mike Danger.
We listeners are truly listening to a powerhouse sports show. Next, I'm going to do 20 minutes of fart jokes.
Gene Battaglia.
Listen, we can interview a Hall of Fame level agent. We can talk to a head coach. We can talk to an info guy. And Mike Danger can tell a fart joke and I can gossip.
That's so, right. Yeah. We're going to do all of that.
My high school girlfriend came from Rochester, so always had a warm spot for it.
We're very provincial in this town.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, Lindy.
Amherst Crunch, Friday at 7.
Playoffs.
Certainly expect it to be a sellout both games this weekend. Knowing now from the last 2 years, the electricity and what this place does at playoff time is pretty special, and I'm excited for it.
Can we get a go Amherst, like go Bills?
I would like it to be safe as death.
What do you mean?
Don't look behind you.
The Amherst coming.
95.7 FM and AM 950 The Fan. Rochester.
Is Rochester the Kevin Bacon of American cities?
I think it is.
It is.
I think it is.
It is.
Welcome on in the Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia. Hey, we're glad you're with us today. One day before the NFL draft, 95.7 FM, AM 950, the free to download Odyssey app and our stream now on our YouTube channel, The Fan Rochester, on Twitch as well, twitch.tv/TheFanRochester. And of course, on your smart device, when you ask it to play 95.7 The Fan, I'm Mike Danger. That's Gene Battaglia.
Our last day in studio here this week.
That's right. That's right. I feel like I'm as immersed in the NFL draft now as I've ever been in my entire life. I've got scenarios rolling through my brain. I'm wearing my Bears hat today because I know who they're taking at one, and they unveiled plans, hot renderings for a new stadium in Chicago. Gino, I got all excited about that. And tomorrow it all goes down. It all starts tomorrow night, round one of the NFL draft.
Not only the Buffalo Bills, what do they do? But you have quarterbacks that are going to make it right at the top. Potentially, we could have 1, 2, 3. If you believe some of the experts, we could have 5 go in the top 15. So you don't typically get this in a draft. So people love their quarterbacks. People love offense. And this should be a lot of fun here tomorrow night.
It will be a lot of fun. We're going to get the day started tomorrow with our little pre-draft show, as we've grown to do year in and year out, from our friends at Three Heads Brewing, our gracious hosts who will host us once again tomorrow afternoon from 3 until 6. We'll be there at Three Heads Brewing, Rochester's largest patio, now open for the season. We get one of those Melonhead watermelon sours and the other fine beers that they have on tap, plus delicious wood-fired pizza from Freddy's. We're there starting at 3 until 6. And, you know, we'll hang out a little bit afterwards as well. That's Three Heads tomorrow for day one. And then we react to day one of the NFL draft Friday afternoon in advance of day two of the NFL draft. We'll be at the Tap Room at Bill Gray's Chai Lai Avenue location from 3 until 6
as well. Yeah, going back to the west side and just kind of taking in the baseball and everything that's on. But Friday is always fun. It's actually one of the best days in sports talk, and one of the best days, can I say, just on our show, because with so many angles, so many things to cover, it's like when you were younger and you hosted a party and you knew everybody had a great time, but you didn't hear really all the stories and you kind of want to tell about the stories from the night that the draft before. So it's going to be a lot of fun. We will have that for you on Friday. So it's great that we're going to be out Thursday and Friday meeting everybody.
Now, joining us today, our final show before we get to our pre-draft shows on Thursday and Friday, he is the conductor of the wide receiver train for the Buffalo Bills. He is Jeremy White, host of the Jeremy White Show on WGR, stopping by at 425.
I'm not preparing for a debate with Jeremy because I think it's very possible the Bills could take a receiver 28, trade up for a wide receiver. But I would also say there's an equal chance that that does not happen in this draft, and I just want to put the brakes on the wide receiver train. I know that's not popular, but when you look at positional value, is it really in the direction of wide receiver? Because if you're building a team for just say, hey, can we get over the hump finally in 2024, then sure, go up and trade for future ones for Roman Dunze and say, do it, knock yourself out. But if you're building for the long haul, and I do believe the window's open for multiple years here with Josh Allen at the controls, then you should look at this differently. So I'm going to see if Jeremy's open to other ideas here in the draft.
I can spoil it for you right now.
No.
He's not. But we'll get into it. He'll be joining us at 425.
You know what a good sports argument does? Get somebody to change their mind. And he's going to go on his show tomorrow. He's like, you know, those guys in Rochester are very smart.
He's not going to do that. Yeah, I guarantee you he won't do that. Joe Yurton, Bleacher Report, going to stop by, talk some Sabres here in about 20 minutes or so. And it feels like the thing that I've seen the most in the course of the last 24 hours since the Sabres introduced Lindy Ruff is the lack of any sort of in-depth coaching search by Kevin Adams. That feels like the prevailing sentiment that I've seen here over the last 24 hours.
Yeah, and I want to get Joe's opinion on Seth Thapper. Today, you had the San Jose Sharks fire their coach, Quinn, gone. Well, they were terrible, not a surprise. So you have teams that need development. San Jose, Ottawa, perpetually. Detroit, still in that boat. They haven't gotten over the hump in terms of making the postseason. These are all guys with interim coaches right now, and in the case of San Jose, somebody. Utah needs a coach. The question is going to be, like, will Seth Thapper get opportunities? Because the dynamic now in the organization, Danger, we've all worked in a place where you get passed over. And then you start to think, all right, well, then what's my future here? When Seth is on Tuesdays, I'm not going to phrase it like that, but this is all what we're thinking, right? That, hey, this has happened before in this organization's past. Is it going to happen again? Just one of the hockey conversations. Oh, by the way, the hockey's been fantastic. More coming up tonight.
Yeah. Joe Yurton, Bleacher Report, joining us here a little under 20 minutes from now. You're welcome to join us. Pull up a stool. 585-866-4FAN is our phone number. 866-4326. Also on Elon's Twitter, X, at the Fan Rochester. Feel free to engage with us there throughout the course of the afternoon. We appreciate that as always. Do you know the table is set?
Yeah, as I don't know if we're getting any real new info. You have a report from Walter Football, whatever that is. Some draftnik saying the Bills are interested in this player. I'm not even passing along because I don't even know if it's true. You have this other report from the Boston Herald that the Patriots moved down, but they haven't received an offer that they take seriously. You have this report that I'm learning from Browning Tasker that, wow, the Giants could be interested in Michael Penix. None of this is true, right? Can we just say you're putting stuff out there? In the case of the Giants, that's a clear one, right? Michael Penix at six? That would be a reach. Well, no, they're just putting that out there. I guess some nervous and jerky team sees quarterbacks go 1-2-3. Why not get out of there?
The season of lying, Gino. Yeah. It is the season of lying. A couple of things that did happen today in the NFL in advance of the start of the draft tomorrow, and specifically in Detroit. They have paid a couple of their players to now be the highest paid at their positions. When you look at what they did with Amon-Ra St. Brown, extending on a four-year extension worth more than $120 million, $77 million guaranteed, making him right now the highest paid receiver in the NFL. We all know that that's going to change when Justin Jefferson resets the market. Ja'Marr Chase, speaking of receivers, Cincinnati did pick up his fifth-year extension, his fifth-year option on his rookie deal, which is a no-brainer. He's under contract through 2025, and now they'll be able to, at some point, once Jefferson resets the market, Chase will then again reset the market. And then back to Detroit, talking about players now that they are the highest paid at their position, Penei Sewell has agreed to terms on a four-year extension. $112 million, the new highest paid offensive lineman in the NFL.
Doesn't that feel Detroit like how Buffalo did, say, circa 2020, 2021, where you knew, all right, we have our core. And Danger, we asked Brandon Bean this question. It was about paying guys. He's like, well, people are going to pay attention to who we pay on our team. And one by one, they took care of their own. Sure. Like Tremaine Edmonds, that's too rich. And you have other kind of guys that you let go. But pretty much the core pieces. And I kind of look at Detroit, but man, if you're a Lions fan, you're going to have a few fun years. I hope you get over the hump. Here in Western New York, we're still kind of waiting. It's still available to us. But that's what I kind of see, is that Detroit is kind of where Buffalo was 3 years ago.
Yeah, you can't argue with either of those two signings, those extensions. I mean, they've both been fantastic players for that organization. St. Brown is one of the most electric wide receivers in the league, and Sewell is going to be a legacy lineman on that team for as long as they'll have him. I mean, he's fantastic. So the Lions making a couple of moves and paying a couple of their own guys that they drafted, guys that have been part of their organization now. And you're right, feels like they've turned a bit of a corner there with some of these signings. Rashad Bateman also extending in Baltimore as well. He's now there through 2026. So just a couple of the signings that have happened here before we get to the NFL draft. And when you talk about the amount of money being thrown around at wide receiver, or that's about to be thrown around at wide receiver, I think that's another question for Jeremy White is, you know, working that rookie first round contract to your advantage and having cost control through the first 5 years of their career, if you have a wide receiver as a higher positional value than, say, defensive tackle or edge rusher, does that factor into the decision of Brandon Bean, or does it even matter? Is it just about getting the guy that's going to be the stud that you want on your team for the foreseeable future and not whiffing on that pick? We can't wait for that conversation with Jeremy White coming up here later on this afternoon.
Yeah, so it's all coming about, and I think it's a good time to kind of revisit, like, if we're going to plant our flag. It's a year, Danger, where I know you like to say, which guy do you want the Bills to take, and your draft does not feel complete, but the one thing I've kind of learned over the years is we don't know crap.
No,
we don't. And like, I got a call today, you know, talking with a friend, like, hey, remember what you said on the air? No, tell me. You said the Bills picked the wrong Josh. I did, because that was my opinion, yeah. And I was led to believe. So really, whatever happens tomorrow night, you have to suspend whatever your judgment is for a few years on that. Now, that being said, Danger, I don't know, when you lay out all these wide receivers, and some will be great, some may even be Hall of Famers, some will wash out. Who's to say? I don't know. So you could say A.D. Mitchell, pluses and pros, and, you know, Thomas from the, well, he's got an injury concern with the shoulder. All these things, I'm just going to reserve judgment.
Can we open it up to our regulars? And I'd love to hear from you this afternoon at 585-866-4FAN, 866-4326. And it doesn't matter if you're a Bills fan or what team you're a fan of. If you're just a fan of football and you're curious about who goes where in tomorrow night's draft, who's your guy? Do you have a guy in this draft? Who's your guy? Do you have somebody that you've been watching through his college career, or that you just started watching film on or seeing pop up on your feed, a wide receiver, a quarterback, somebody that you think when they get to the NFL, they're going to hit? Who's your guy? I'd love to hear it at 866-4326. And Gino, I've been pretty steadfast in saying that I wouldn't call him my guy. I would just say, for the Buffalo Bills, the guy that you don't want to leave Detroit without is Ladd McConkey. And the reason why I say that is, if you can't get a Roma Dunze by trading up, or you can't get a Thomas because he's gone by the time you're picking at 28, that's the guy that I think can do. He might not be everything that those guys are. But if you get him, he could develop and become that. He has the smarts of working in a pro-style offense, having played in Georgia with Todd Monken as his offensive coordinator as a junior. He has the ability to separate through his route running. You know that there will be a connection between a guy like Ladd McConkey and Josh Allen. I feel like that's a marriage waiting to happen. That's the guy that, for me, the Bills can't leave Detroit
so
without.
So we're talking dream scenario, right?
I'm just saying that's the guy they can't leave without. Dream scenario?
Give me the dream
scenario. My dream scenario is Rome Odunze.
Okay.
That's the guy, I think, for the Bills. That's my guy. That's the guy I would say I would love to see them go up and get that guy.
Okay. Here's my dream scenario, because I don't want to give up a first-round draft pick next year. In fact, I don't want to give up any twos. I want to stay right where I am. There's something to be said for that. Now, again, it's a dream scenario because Brandon Bean doesn't do that. But my dream scenario danger is this, and this is the unpopular opinion, okay? But to have a ball-hawking safety is such an advantage. Yes, it's an offensive league, but you can counter that. And I look at good teams like the Ravens with Kyle Hamilton, and no, it's a different skill set. But if you got somehow Cooper DeJean falls to 28, you run with that pick up to the podium. You take the safety, and then at 60, because let's be honest, he's not – a lot of mocks don't have him go in the first round. You get McConkey in the second round.
I've seen mocks that do have him going
yes,
in the first
so
round.
So that is
a dream. Crazy. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. If you got two starters, so that the baseline minimum here, okay, two starters, that doesn't happen by trading up for Odunze, because I would assume you'd have to kick in this year's number two. Or maybe it's you're going to forfeit all of next year's top picks. You're not going up that far to get Odunze. Mm. So that's why I'm looking at this from just a shopping standpoint. Give me two guys that can compete to be starters this year.
Well, I would love to hear from some of our regulars. If you have a take at 866-4326, feel free to join us throughout the course of the afternoon. Who's your guy? That's the question. Who's your guy? Like, Rome Odunze is my guy, just because when you watch that guy and you watch him play and, man, I see it. I see that guy in this offense, and it feels seamless. It feels like you'll not only have a replacement for what you had with Diggs, but more than what you had with Diggs eventually.
Wow.
And that's why my eyes get wide and my heart flutters a little bit when I think of Rome Odunze. Now, assuming that he isn't there until, you know, he isn't there beyond the middle of the first round. Now, if you're the Bills and you're kind of waiting, if it is McConkey, then that's the guy I think you do sit and wait for. But I have seen mocks that have teams taking McConkey before 28. And again, nobody knows anything. Who knows how the draft board falls? Who knows how many quarterbacks are taken? Who knows how wide receivers are actually valued by these teams? And we know how deep the class is. And there might be some teams that just say, you know what? We don't put a value on wide receiver the way other teams do. We would rather have an offensive lineman that we can have for years to come.
That's a great point, because if they don't take a wide receiver in the first round this year, true or false, they'll never take a wide receiver in the first round.
The Bills?
Yeah.
Correct.
Yeah. Yeah. That there's been previous years where like, oh, they're going to take one. And then they passed and they passed and they passed. And I brought this up to Mike Catalana. He disagreed with me on the notion that it's a quarterback who develops the wide receiver. I think they can kind of work in tandem, Danger. I really do. Now, in the case of Diggs, like, Diggs was established, and you could say Diggs kind of helped Allen along.
I think
Absolutely. Well, I think now it's the pendulum's the other way. Whoever you bring in, that wide receiver is going to be lucky to come here as opposed to a team, let's say Pittsburgh, okay, or whoever it may be, a quarterback that's like, I don't know. Yeah, no, the wide receiver that comes here has a better chance of developing.
Speaking of Pittsburgh, becoming pretty clear that they're not going to extend the fifth-year option on Justin Fields' rookie contract. You've essentially got three key players on offense on one-year deals: Najee Harris, Russell Wilson, Justin Fields. I mean, talk about going out there and trying to prove it. And if you're Justin Fields, man, you've got to hope something happens that gets you on the field, because you'll go into free agency after spending a year backing up Russell Wilson in Pittsburgh. Not a great look for a former first-round pick in Justin Fields.
Well, if it's clear, because this is April, right, and you get to camp, and then you have soft tissue injuries and blah, blah, blah. If Fields is doing the work and all things are equal, they're still going with Russell Wilson. But Fields has to have a great camp to just make him say, all right, maybe there's more to this.
Yeah, you see the way Tomlin longingly looks at Russell Wilson, and you see Wilson, you've seen this in your feed the last couple of days, like Wilson's doing good things in the community. He's visiting the Pittsburgh Children's Hospitals, and he's ingratiating himself with a fan base, and it's going to be a hard thing for them to actually sit Russ down because of his performance. It would have to be exceptionally bad. We've seen bad Russell Wilson, so maybe that could still happen, but I worry for Justin Fields that when he does hit free agency after this upcoming season, it's going to be more along the lines of, hey, who do you want to back up for the rest of your career? Which, I mean, given how electric that guy has shown to be, he may not be a future starting quarterback, but man, he's a playmaker of some sort. And, well, it'll be interesting to see.
It's a little surprising because other than the cap hit, like, those are the positions you want. You want the competition. So it's a risk that Pittsburgh's taking, and they could have a very clean cap next year if they move on from all three.
Who's your guy? Chris, one of our regulars from South Central Kentucky, listening on the free-to-download Odyssey app. At The Fan Rochester, there's a guy I've been banging the drum for a long time, and he fills a need. I think the Bills could probably get him in either the fourth or fifth round. Drake Stoops, slot wide receiver at Oklahoma. Cole Beasley 2.0. In 5 years, I think I saw him drop 4 passes total.
I'll take your word for it, Drake Stoops. And by the way, he is the son of Bob Stoops. So,
How much do you like the football DNA?
My goodness, I know.
Bloodlines matter.
Well, I know Sean McDermott loves to talk some football.
Yeah,
yeah.
Bloodlines matter. Yeah. Let's get to Joe Yurden, noted hockey Bleacher Report. We'll talk some Sabres. We'll talk some Lindy Ruff. We'll talk some Rochester Americans. All coming up next with Joe Yurden. Plus more of your calls at 866-4FAN, 585-866-4326.
You're listening to The Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia. 95.7 FM and AM 950. The Fan Rochester.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay. Picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
The Fan Rochester Sports Update.
We are one day away from the NFL Draft. The Bills at pick 28. We'll talk some Buffalo Bills football next hour. Jeremy White from WGR joining us here in the Sports Bar. Rochester Americans, the playoff quest begins on Friday. Syracuse, the opponent. And game one, head coach Seth Appert of the Amherst on the crunch.
The way we scout is we show our players threats and opportunities. We show them what are the threats. What does Syracuse do really well that's threatening to us? And then what are our opportunities? What do we think we can exploit? And that's kind of the way we attack a pre-scout.
We'll talk some hockey coming up next. Joe Yurden, Bleacher Report, noted hockey, joining us in the Sports Bar. Rochester Red Wings in St. Paul, Minnesota once again tonight on the Major League scoreboard. Cardinals leading the Diamondbacks 5-1. Yankees taking on Oakland tonight. Gene Battaglia, The Fan Rochester.
Straight up with no chaser. You're in the Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia on the Sports Leader, 95.7 FM and AM 950, The Fan Rochester.
Back in the Sports Bar, Danger and Battaglia. It was about 24 hours ago that we were getting reintroduced to new Sabres head coach, old Sabres head coach, Lindy Ruff. After the dismissal of Don Granato at the end of the season, we welcome in from Bleacher Report, noted hockey, our buddy Joe Yurden in the Sports Bar. Joe, it feels like since yesterday and the introduction of Lindy Ruff or the reintroduction of Lindy Ruff, it feels like what I'm seeing more of than anything is a storyline or a beat of less than a thorough search for the head coaching position after the release of Don Granato. What do we know about Kevin Adams' search for Granato's replacement?
Well, it's funny because the question I asked of Adams yesterday at the press conference was, how many people did you talk to? And obviously, because it was such a quick turnaround, I mean, we're talking, 6 days? From firing Don to hiring Lindy, how quick did it take him to realize that, no matter who he talked to, Lindy was his guy. And, he made sure to say that, I'm not going to mention any names, which, that's fine. But he didn't give an exact number either. He did say it was double figures, which that's casting a wide net if you choose to believe him. But, I know there is, there was some doubt cast upon that. I think Elliot Friedman had mentioned something that he didn't think the search was all that extensive. I don't know if I'm radioing him or not. I think that was said on TV last night. But, all we can do is kind of take everybody at their word for this. But certainly by the amount of time that it took from between firing Don and hiring Lindy, that it's hard to believe that you could talk to a lot of people in that time, but certainly if you're racking up the hours, you could. But given the parameters that Kevin had put in place when he said, when he described what he was looking for out of a coach, I mean, I think all of us walked away from that thinking like, oh well, he's got to hire Lindy.
Yeah.
And there were other coaches out there that fit that bill. I mean, you think of Gerard Gallant, you can think of Craig Berube. There's a handful of others, and hey, maybe all it takes is a phone call and have that guy say, no, I'm not interested. And then he's like, all right, well, that's one person down the list. But certainly I think if it weren't for Lindy's past with the organization and having coached this team for so long before, I think everybody would look at this hiring and say, yeah, no, this makes a lot of sense. But it's Buffalo, and it feels like it's making the easiest move because it is the easiest move. But I think in a vacuum, hiring Lindy Ruff in this case makes a ton of sense. But I understand it's hard to separate the two things and say that he did, that you can believe that he did do due diligence. Boy, that's a mouthful. And got the right guy. But I don't know. I think if the end result is the same, it's fine. But I understand questioning the process.
I'm completely conflicted here because I feel all warm and fuzzy and Danger saying it's emotion and everything. And him going back to the 1990s here with him leading this team and the fight against Ottawa, and that comes, it makes me feel great. And then I get I get this counterpoint here, and if I may bring in my college buddy, Worm. And Worm wrote this to me, and he follows a lot of hockey, Joe. Gene, is this a joke? Just give up now. How awful. Did they watch the Devils the last 2 years? I'm sorry, man. How did Lindy? How did things go so bad where, hey, young team, second round of the playoffs, pretty good, to your fire. What happened there in New Jersey?
Well, a lot of things happened in New Jersey. And Lindy did touch on some of this. He lost Dougie Hamilton, who's, I don't know how many people pay close attention to him or the Devils, but Dougie Hamilton's a great defenseman, and they lost him for the season in, what, November. And that goes on top of losing Damon Severson and Ryan Graves in free agency. That's three of the top defensemen getting, you know, either not having them from the start of last season or losing them for the season early on. And that's a lot. that's a lot to make up for. And the only choice they had was to make up for it from within. So that meant taking Luke Hughes, who is, a top prospect and who was getting sheltered minutes in the third pair, and, they're trying to ease him along, to suddenly he's in the top four and learning the NHL fresh out of Michigan, playing 20 minutes a night in, on a team that had Stanley Cup aspirations. So it's putting him into a bigger spot. It's putting Kevin Ball into a bigger spot. It's calling Simon Nemec up from Utica and putting him into a position where, again, he's going to be really good at some point in the very near future. But asking those guys to kind of take charge of the situation was asking a lot. And, you look at the goaltending. My God, if Lindy should be mad at anybody, he should be mad at Tom Fitzgerald. Because I think when we saw the way the Devils season ended last year and how, Vitek Vanacek was came crashing back to earth pretty quick, and Akira Schmid was looking very good late in the season and was getting playoff starts over Vanacek. You had to go into the offseason thinking, like, they need an upgrade at goal. And they had, there were rumors that, if Connor Hellebuck didn't re-sign in Winnipeg, that, that New Jersey has to strike fast and get after him. Maybe they should have done it a lot, made that move really aggressively, because how much different would the double season have been with an actual goalie in place as opposed to the guys they were running out this, again, it was Schmid, it was Nico Daws, it was Vanacek. Again, Vanacek had a horrible season. I mean, things were so bad. They traded out both of their goalies at the deadline for two new guys, thinking we got to shake this up. We can still get in the playoffs, and it still didn't work. So it was a season where anything that could have gone wrong did go wrong for the Devils. And that's hard. And the expectations were even higher for Lindy there, because after your team puts up 112 points, you're thinking, we could win the cup. You're one of the best teams in the NHL. So, everything falls apart, and, Lindy, supposedly clashed with Alexander Holtz. Holtz was in his doghouse, which I think Sabres fans will remember guys that were in Lindy's doghouse back in the day, how that went. So, it was just one of those things where just a bad season. It was a bad season, and you know what? When the stakes are that high, a move has to get made, and the Devils did it. So I get it. Believe me, I understand everybody being kind of shaky about seeing how things went there and crossing it up. But I mean, we've seen that happen. That stuff happen in Buffalo in the last few years too, with injuries and goalies getting hurt and, goalies playing badly and all that kind of stuff. So bad things happen to teams, and, there's punishment that comes from it. But I think given the makeup of the Sabres team, and the Sabres team has better goaltending than the Devils had by far. So that's gonna cover up a lot of problems that he faced in Jersey. I totally understand not thinking like this is the right move, but I think, again, in a vacuum, I think this is something that can work. This is something that absolutely can work and can work great.
So, Joe, the word that we've been hearing for the last 7 days from Kevin Adams' press conference announcing the firing of Don Granato to locker cleanout day one and two to yesterday's introduction of Lindy Ruff, the word is accountability. And I loved Lindy Ruff's explanation of accountability. He says it starts with the individual player holding themselves accountable first. You heard all the players mention how there was a lack of accountability within the locker room, and yet the coach gets fired. The players are still here. So I guess, how do you, if you're Lindy Ruff, make a locker room full of serial underachievers begin to hold themselves accountable first and foremost?
Well, it starts by making sure that taking stock of what the issues were a year ago, and making sure that stuff doesn't happen again. And I'm sure that requires Lindy going over a lot of tape and looking back on situations. I'm sure there are things that came up in those, the end of the season meetings between Kevin and the players. And I'm sure they're apprised of these things during the season too. There's no way that, everybody's keeping a list and saving it for the end of the year. That stuff doesn't happen. But I'm sure there are things, and there's stuff with players that happen that they're going like, hey, listen, these are the things that were going on that just, nothing was done about it. These are the kinds of things that need to get fixed. And these are the kind of checks that we need to have in place to make sure this stuff doesn't happen again. And I really think that that's something that they're going to make sure that they've got figured out before they even step foot on the ice for camp. They're going to make sure that these things are squared away, and that if there are any issues with players that maybe Lindy thinks that this guy isn't going to work out, maybe they figure that out by trades, whatever, what have you. I know everybody keeps looking at Jeff Skinner going, boy, this isn't going to work. But you never know. I mean, like, you don't know. And Skinner's a veteran, so, like, we'll see what happens. But and I'm certainly not singling him out for a lack of accountability there. It requires the coach to be on top of everything. And sometimes it means not letting young players get away with mistakes that they make. And if it's repeated stuff, then you got to fix that too. But if we know anything about Lindy, he's going to be right on top of that stuff right away. And if guys are making mistakes and they're making repeated mistakes, they're not going to play. And that I think is the biggest issue for them. And that the players recognized it at the end of the year, saying like, hey, listen, we're not going to go anywhere if the coach isn't going to kind of get this stuff under control. And that to me is a very grown up thing to see out of these players, because so many times you'll see players being like, well, I don't know, I think everything's pretty good, everything's okay, and things were not okay. So the fact that Thompson and Tuck and all these guys were saying, we need a coach to kind of keep this in check, is a good thing.
We're talking to Joe Yurden, Bleacher Report, as the Amherst. Let's shift the focus here, but sort of shift the focus. Before we start talking about Syracuse and how far this team may end up, Joe, there's one guy that we're close to. We do have a bias. We talk to him every week. Seth Appert. We really, really like Seth Appert. I'm just stunned they didn't give him more of a chance, at least, like, ruling him out immediately. And I'm just wondering where the kind of the story goes from here, Joe, that if you have Lindy Ruff, Seth Appert isn't going to go up in the next year, two, three, who knows how long, and you have openings around the league. You have now one in San Jose today. What is the threat here that Seth Appert actually is going to get some interviews here around the NHL, do you think?
I mean, there's plenty of openings, and I'm sure that is a serious concern for the Sabres. It would have to be. You'd have to when you've got a coach in your minor league ranks that's doing a great job with developing guys, and is young and is in touch with the players and is able to really get on the same level with them, and you get that understanding of where they're at. There has to be concern. There has to be worry that maybe somebody's going to come with an offer that he can't refuse, and that, we can't really do a lot about. But I have to believe that given the way Kevin Adams feels about Seth, and Adams is the one who hired Seth, years ago to take the reins there. I have to believe there's no way he's going to let him get out of his reach and to get away from the organization. There's just, I would find it unfathomable if Seth was to leave the organization. I firmly believe Seth is in demand, and he should be in demand. He's a heck of a coach. He's a heck of a coach, heck of a guy. And he's really good with young guys. But, you know, my podcast partner, Lance Lisowski, reported that Lindy got a 2-year deal out of this. That to me kind of got my eyebrow raised, because it makes me wonder who's Lindy's assistant's going to be. I asked Lindy yesterday if he's going to be bringing in an assistant. He said, yes, he wants to get to know the staff first, kind of get your feet under you first before you go hiring an assistant. And I think the longer that spot goes unfilled, and if the Amherst season just happens to coincidentally be going on while it stays unfilled, I think that keeps the door open that maybe Seth could be moved up to Buffalo. But
what about Taylor? Would he be in line for that, or would that be too much to swallow going back to the organization that actually fired you?
I think given the way that ended with Tails, I can't see that move coming. Although, you know, listen, if he's Lindy's guy, then maybe you just say okay, this is what we got to do. But I know that was a bit of a clash of opinions on how to run things in Rochester by the end, I gotta think that if there's any kind of remote threat that an NHL team, whether it's, say San Jose just fired Quinn today, maybe Ottawa, somebody else where they've got an opening and they're saying hey, Appert's doing a heck of a job in Rochester. Let's get him before somebody else does. I gotta think that Kevin's gonna be like, hey, listen, come be Lindy's assistant, and then we'll see how things progress from there. This is all getting a feel from it from the outside, but I just don't see a way that Adams lets Appert get away without having a final shot to keep him on board.
Yeah, I mean, I hear what you're saying, Joe, and a lot of it makes sense. But if you're Seth Appert and you want to be a head coach rather than an assistant coach, and you've never crossed paths with Lindy Ruff, which he told us yesterday, I mean, it feels like you might be mixing oil and water there just for the sake of keeping a guy around when he might have a better opportunity somewhere else. And we're not wishing Seth Appert to go anywhere. We want to keep him here as long as he's willing to stay, because we've enjoyed a really nice run with the Amherst. Selfishly, we want to see this team kind of remain intact for as long as possible.
Oh yeah. No, I completely understand. I completely understand that sentiment. And you're right. If another NHL team comes calling and says, hey, we want to make you our head coach, that's a tough offer to beat. And that would ultimately be up to Seth to decide if he's ready to do that or not. I can't imagine, I guess it would all depend on the situation, with ownership there, with the ownership with wherever, whatever team it is and everything else that goes into that. But, I would have to think that kind of offer would be very difficult to pass on. I would imagine that Adams has a better feel for this entire thing than us on the outside do. But yeah, it's certainly something to keep an eye on until everything gets settled out.
When this is going back a few years, Joe, when we had Randy Sexton on, he was the GM of the Amherst at that point. And just asked him, and the Amherst had just gotten in the postseason. They're ready to play Toronto. Randy, best of five. What is this format? If it's about development, why wouldn't you want more hockey? He's you're absolutely right. So with that being said here, Amherst and Syracuse. I love the way the Amherst have played here. Everybody has the last month. Mm-hmm. It is hockey. And it is a short series. So what are your thoughts here about this matchup that begins on Friday?
I think it shapes up very similarly to how it did last year. These are two teams that are playing really well. They've been two of the best teams in the division, especially at second. Syracuse has been great all year. The Amherst have been a lot better in the second half, of course. But Syracuse hasn't changed the way that they play at all. They're going to play heavy. They're going to play hard. They're going to play physical. They've got a ton of talent. But the Amherst do too. And the Amherst are playing really good hockey. And their best players are really taking off. I mean, Kulik's been awesome. it's amazing how he was quiet for a good span there. You know, he was banged up a little bit too, but man, he's been electric here of late. And you're seeing all these guys, you know, really stepping up their play. And now you've got Levi playing goal. This sets up to be a really interesting series. And I know interesting isn't what fans want it to be. They want to hear our team's going to win in three games and move on. But this is going to be a really interesting battle between these two because they're really close. They're really, really close. And I think the way Rochester has closed this season out, I just really like the way that they're playing. And I think the way they set up and got all kinds of talent up and down the lineup. And you've got a ton of hard workers, and I love the season Yobson's had. He's been so good. Very deserving team MVP. They've got the right kind of role players and talent guys to make this work and to be able to make another run. But man, this is naughty. The best thing for them would have been to win the division. But I mean, that was Cleveland had a monster weekend. So, you know, congrats to them to close it out. But this is, playoffs are supposed to be hard. They're supposed to be tough, but there's a lot to like about how this Amherst team has been playing the last couple of months, honestly. But this is going to be fascinating. I'm excited by this, and I would not be surprised if this goes the same way it did last year, down to a fifth game to move on.
So, Joe, you know, as we manage our expectations for the Amherst here in the postseason, the question that we've kind of been looking at and thinking about is this year's roster actually more talented than last year's roster that made that run to the Eastern Conference Final?
Boy, it's close, isn't it? It's really close. I think when you consider the guys that have come in since then, you know, that have come in late. I think of, you know, like Anton Wahlberg. I think he's looked great since coming in. I think he's going to be a super player as time goes down. I think overall, you know, you add in Wahlberg, you add in Oslin, but you know, it's the guys you already have in place. It's Kulik, it's Rosane, you know, Mersch is fantastic. Yobst is having a great season. You know, all these guys are just playing really, really well. And I think the defensive setup is a lot stronger too. I think it's a little bit deeper, on the back end. And certainly with Levi and Tokarski in that, you know, with, you know, I don't know if Hauser's still banged up or not, but even having him there as a number three, this is about as deep and as talented as it's been in a long time. It's just, the league is so hard. It's such a hard league when you've got among the best teams, and that's not even looking at the other division with Hershey sitting there waiting, getting ready to beat everybody's heads in. But I think this group might be a little bit more talented than last year, but it's close. But I think the better players that you've got, and you know, I mean, certainly, you know, younger, better players that you've got, like with Levi and them, puts it up maybe just a little bit more. But it's close. It's real close.
Joe, last one for me. Cup playoffs. Your thoughts here so far? And tonight we only had two games here, but does the trend of teams winning on home ice continue? Tampa Bay down 0-2 to Florida. Islanders down 0-2 to Carolina.
Yeah, you know, I the way the Islanders lost game two.
Terrible.
Jeez. That's got a just end the series now sort of feel to it. If they weren't going back to UBS on Long Island for the next two games, I'd say just forget it. Don't even bother playing the next two, because that's a kind of collapse that you just don't do in the playoffs. Like in one game, like you've got that game on lockdown, and you play a lockdown style of game. But the problem was Carolina never stops coming at you, and the Islanders thought, well, we can hold it down for 30 minutes and not do anything for the second part of the game. You can't do that with that team. You just have to keep going back and fighting back at them and blocking shots. And it just didn't work. And the Canes took it to them. And I mean, the Canes are too good for that kind of stuff. And this has been my issue with the Isles all year, is that, you know, they play something closer to 90s hockey than they do to modern hockey, and that stuff doesn't last. That you're going to run out of gas fast playing that kind of way. And, you know, Waugh gave him a second win, but I just, that's tough. That's really tough. And, I don't know how that's going to work. Florida Tampa has been awesome. All the former Sabre guys in Florida have been great. And, you know, Carter Verhaeghe, geez, does he not score? And does he only score important goals?
Clutch.
It seems to be the only thing he does. Yeah. My goodness. What a player. But I'm going to be really interested, and, you know, it's classic. I'm really interested to see what happens in Toronto and Boston in Game 3.
Yeah.
Just because I didn't like the way Boston closed out that game. Allmark played great, but Boston just, Matthews goes Superman style. Like, that's tough. But they got really scrambly late in that game trying to track everybody down. I didn't like that. And the Bruins have been guilty of doing that a lot in third period this year. So curious to see if it changes with them being on the road, and maybe they get a little bit more focus and attention to detail against them.
Joe, tell us about what you're working on here through the course of the postseason at Noted Hockey and Bleacher Report. And let's not forget about that podcast you talked about with Lance Maintenance Day.
Yeah, Maintenance Day. Yeah, we'll be getting back on the horse to kind of collect our thoughts after the Lindy hiring here. We emptied out the tank after they fired Don and did like a 2-hour super show. Might have to do the same here, discussing Lindy and what's to come and what to make of everything there. Lance and I got to coordinate our schedules to get that together. Bleacher Report, tons of playoff stuff going on there. It'll be just a boatload of playoff stuff. I'll be going up to Toronto at some point for playoffs to cover some games there, so that'll be fun. And at Noted Hockey, Sabres, tons of Sabres, lots of Lindy. We'll be breaking down the roster to come and maybe get into some system stuff about Lindy, about what people can expect to see once they get back on the ice in September and get ready for a new campaign. I'm not wishing away summer, but I'm kind of ready for camp already.
Well, hopefully we get to see you at the arena coming up here in the month of May. Who knows how long.
Absolutely.
Joe. Yeah. Appreciate you stopping by today, Joe.
Thanks, guys. And yeah, I'll definitely see you over at Blue Cross at some point here soon.
Sounds good. Joe Yurden covering the Sabres, Amerks, and NHL. You can read his work at Noted Hockey, Bleacher Report. You can hear his work with Lance Lysowski on the Maintenance Day podcast. Always appreciate Joe stopping by the sports bar.
Yeah, the way, is it fair to say Kevin Adams cut corners on the coaching search?
Of course.
Yeah, so, and one of your most loyal employees, one of your best employees, I'm going to stop short of saying they did Seth Appert wrong, but Seth Appert has to look at the situations like, what's my future? And I'm going to disagree with Joe on this. He doesn't want to be an NHL assistant.
I agree.
That, like, he wants to be a head coach. He could have gone anywhere last year. He could go anywhere this year. So the idea that all of a sudden, I'll go up and be an assistant. But No, that's
for a guy that he's never crossed paths with before. That feels like a stretch.
That feels like very risky, that 2 years from now you're out of hockey altogether. Right. So,
well, it'll be interesting to follow along with and see exactly how it plays out. And I think a lot of it does have to do with the Amerks' performance here in the postseason and just how much of an impact Seth Appert's coaching job does and gets the attention of other NHL executives, other teams. I don't know that, we don't know Seth's contractual situation with the organization. We don't know any of that. I don't know that it's a year-to-year thing or a multiple-year thing. We know that he's got a relationship with Kevin Adams and he's got a relationship with Jason Karmanos, and that Kevin Adams is probably viewing Seth Appert as a source of pride right now. The fact that you have a guy who's done what he's done with this organization here in Rochester bodes well for his future, whether it's within the Sabres organization or hopefully not.
Well, look, if you're San Jose, Ottawa, Detroit, any of these teams, okay, what direction do we want to go for? Retread route. Okay, there's Berube. Hey, NHL assistant, ironically, Michael Pekka.
Yeah, sure.
You're gonna have NHL assistants, and Pekka worked, I say ironically, for Seth Appert. Last year, you may have college coaches. That was like the big buzzy thing a couple years ago, and Quinn just getting fired today. And then you'll look at the American League. And I am not up on other coaches around the American League, but I got to tell you that I read articles outside of Rochester that point at Seth Thapper.
Interesting. Next hour, Jeremy White, WGR. He'll be joining us. We'll talk the wide receiver train with Jeremy. We've got some takes on tap next in the sports bar.
So the draft tomorrow, you could say, oh, it starts with Chicago. No, no. To me, it starts with the team that resides in Buffalo's division. What is New England going to do? Danger, they can turn things around here. Or maybe not. And I'm going to go over some history here and point the Patriots in the direction. If you're a Patriot fan, I've got thoughts on this. And if you're a Bills fan, that certainly relates to you. And then also, I know you don't want to hear this, but the video they put out for the Bears' new stadium, are we this dumb?
I've got some other issues with it as well.
Okay.
There's a few things that you could point to as far as how this was rolled out today that you could really say are kind of icky.
Kind of.
Yeah, it's a little nauseating, but we'll get into that. We got some takes on tap. Oh, I've got maybe I'm just too immersed in NFL draft talk, but a new way to strike up conversation, a nice little icebreaker that I'm going to need a verdict on. We'll get to that and more next before we get to Jeremy White, who joins us right around 4:25. That's all on the way, along with your calls at 866-4FAN, 585-866-4326.
You're listening to The Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia on 95.7 FM and AM 950, The Fan Rochester.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.